Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Grey Leopard Code with Gary Norris Gray. Gary will be coming to you each Saturday, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, talking sports live on GLC.
If you're looking for real talk on sports, politics, and other important issues, tune in to The Bachelor Pad every Monday through Friday beginning at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. L.A. Bachelor and Tony McClain look to enlighten, empower, and educate people on the topics that people are talking about, but discuss them from a social, economical, and racial standpoint. It's sports, breaking news, updates, politics, great guests, and music in between. It's The Bachelor Pad every Monday through Friday beginning at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Listen at www.thebachelorpad.biz. That's www.thebachelorpad.biz. Follow us at facebook.com/padnation and at Pad for Truth on Twitter. That's at Pad4Truth.
on a campaign trip to Dallas trying to unify the Democratic Party without a bubble top car, was murdered at Dairy Plaza by the alleged assassin, Lee Harvey Oswald, which we all know was a conspiracy, and still is a conspiracy, 50 years later. Brother John, and in 2018 will be 50 years, Martin Luther King, Robert F. Kennedy will be 50 years. That will be the most difficult for most Americans my age, because Robert and Martin were a product of John and his new vision in New America. Hope you enjoyed the, let's give one more time for the,
committed to the highest standards of judgment
and behavior toward each other. All in all, the field of competition. The board of directors authorized commissioner governor and the need to conduct an investigation before a recommendation regarding further action to the board of directors. This is due to the lack of 2 weeks ago with Virginia State Trojans and Winston State fiasco 2 weeks ago. I'm going to get the scoring updated. Okay, that's what I mean. So, also the other news, the NAACP of Washington, Richmond, Virginia area, Rodney M. Brock, refuses to denounce racism of the Washington Football Club. Now, I was going in the Richmond, Washington area with the NAACP organization, an organization who is supposed to defend the rights of people of color and not doing its job. And Ms. Brock, National Chair of Richmond Office, refuses to criticize the Washington Football Club. And trust me, I will be on this every day until I get it. So, if you want any letters, write to Rodney M. Brock, the Richmond office of the NAACP. There's news for that on that. Okay. Moving on. Monday. It went from bad to worse in Miami. The NFL with the independent investigator Ted Wells. And Ted Wells last night wrapped up the investigation of the Miami Dolphins. And now I need to go out. And there has been bullying by the offensive coach and spread to the other players of the offensive line. He stated that was a way to motivate his players. Baseball news, Tim Hudson, formerly the Oakland A's, returned to the West Coast and San Francisco Giants. For a 2-year contract and a very powerful rotation. Now the question in the Bay Area is, are the G-men, the baseball G-men, way back? Another morning in the Black and Silver Nation, Raider Nation, and Thomas Howard died in a car crash on Monday night. And his car ran to the back of a big rig truck. Linebacker for the Oakland Raiders, age 57 years old. The Memphis Grizzlies on Tuesday, Tony Allen gets fined and ejected. Where he tried a kung fu move, what are you thinking? Blinked with 2 fouls as the Grizzlies played the Clippers and that Randall scored 22 points. For all you SIU Tuluki fans, either the WFAN or Tuesday night, as well, Clyde Frazier of the New York Knicks from WFAN Radio 66, bring my day to Southern Illinois, Carbondale, Illinois, as Clyde played catcher for the Tulukis and basketball. He played high school quarterback. And very interesting that Clyde Frazier, what he said in the interview, he said he never considered playing football quarterback because there are no black quarterbacks in 1967-68. Mexico and the World Cup being New Zealand. And now Brazil can be a little easier. Their Latino team, one of the major Latino teams, now are playing in the World Cup game this year. Wednesday, the sports league, the sports genre, moved to Washington, D.C., and Ernie Banks of the Chicago Cubs, and Dean Smith of North Carolina Tar Heels goes to the White House for a Presidential Medal of Freedom Award, which President Kennedy awarded in 1963. Ever since, for helping Americans, and we salute Ernie Banks and Dean Smith to generate interest in their game that they're playing. I'm not a Chicago Cubs fan, but I'll always be Ernie Banks fan. He loves the game, he loves baseball, he's loyal. The Cubs deserve better. A better team. I will always bleed Carolina blue. And back in the 60s, the ACC, the United Coast Conference, broadcast their tournament games every April. And it was nice to watch other teams outside of the Northeast. So I became a Tar Heel fan. Congratulations to Ernie Banks and Dean Smith. Al Rodriguez stormed out of the arbitration room as Bud Selig will not testify. Hey, this shows the baseball how serious they're not really serious about the situation. As they continue to attack players, I was still wondering what was on that list, the 100 player list. The NFL Players Association on Wednesday, because of their own investigation of the Martin Incognito incident. In the meantime, the Dolphins get the 500 mark into the 12th week. I thought this team would never get there with their game the rest of the year, but they have. Nick Van, New York Knicks, and Brooklyn Nets, the New York area of basketball are moaning and groaning. And the Knicks on an 8-game losing streak. The Knicks are a mass unit. And not even Carmelo Anthony can save this one. Then I'm going to go for it on my Brooks' line, $15,000. For a new one to go back to Drew Brees. And, folks, the NFL is literally becoming like the immediately baseball. And not good. Sad news, HBCU. The SIAC. And Southern Intercollegiate Athletic Conference canceled the Pioneer Bowl. Commissioner Moore informed the committee that the CIAA will not participate this year. Another blow for HBCUs. The New York Knicks played well against the Indiana Pacers on Wednesday night as overtime. And getting real sneaky in Madison Square Garden. Shumpert caused a late foul in overtime with the Pacers capitalized and move on to win. 108-103. Sidney Kidd Crosby and the Penguins beat up the Washington Capitals and Alex Ovechkin 4-0. On Thursday, the Dallas Rangers might have found a gold mine as they traded Prince Miller, the Texans, for Ian Kinsler. Now they have a deadly deal. Moving on to NCAA football, as it's Luki Cousins, the Huskies. Jordan Lynch scored 3 touchdowns in Northern Illinois, beat the League of Rockets 35-70, and is still looking for the BCS Bowl bid at 11-0. This is the Huskies' third straight Mid-American Conference victory, and they have to wait this week until they play Western Michigan. It should be an easy game. And Bowling Green on December 6th. In hockey, the Jersey Devils are showing the signs to go out. They won 5 in a row as they beat the LA Kings in overtime. And San Jose Sharks also a glass from. And they defeat the Tampa Bay Lightning 5-1. Wingo scored 2 goals. And the Emmy saved 36 shots. In NBA, the Thunder defeat the LA Clippers 106-98. As Kevin Durant scored 28 points. Ibaka joined the party with strong rebounding and scored 17 points. The Nuggets defeated the Chicago Bulls 97-87. And Derrick Rose gets into this game. The Bulls have a winning streak. And now they lose their best player, Derrick Rose. So Chicago is right back where they were a year ago, or 2 years ago. And without Derrick Rose, the Chicago Bulls will not win the NBA. The NFL suspended Black referee for using the N-word against another black player. Now, folks, this is getting out of hand. The N-word is flying around like it's water. I commend the NFL for doing what they did, but they also had to suspend that player for saying the word back to the referee. It's Friday. It's Friday. You do your homework. If you support black business, former director of baseball player station, Michael Wiener, passed away at 51 years old. He's a modern-day architect of the Players Association today. Let me go back to our president.
Everything needs to be forgotten.
by 1963, the Dallas Cowboys were last place. So, there you have it. The NFL played their games while the AFL canceled their games. We have a caller. Let's see who's caller. This is Tony. Tony, you there?
Hey, what's up, guy?
I was just discussing the Dallas Cowboys traveling to Cleveland to play their game in 1962. Three.
Mm-hmm.
And Jim Brown said it was the worst game he ever played in his life. Even though the Cowboys have won, the Browns won 27-17 in a mistaken marred game throughout.
Yeah, dying days said that that was probably the worst mistake he ever made playing those games that weekend. And the Cowboys took, and it's funny you talked about that, because the Cowboys were, they took a bunch of abuse that weekend from the Cleveland fans. You know, they were shouting like Kennedy killer and murderers and everything like that. And you're right, for the longest time, the Cowboys in those early years were not a very well-liked team, and had nothing to do, unfortunately, with anything on the field. A lot of it had to do with the events that happened, of course, that weekend 50 years ago. And it's very ironic because I was like an infant when that happened, but I've seen so much and read so much. I feel like that I can relate to what happened. It was a very surreal time. TV was really just starting to become big, and that was one of the reasons why. People thought Kennedy wasn't as popular, or was as popular as he was. And, for folks who remember that weekend, basically everything, every TV, radio station had something on locally or nationally in regards to the assassination. And, and everything played out on TV, even right up until the day of the funeral when Oswald was killed by Jack Ruby.
Yeah. Do you remember the Dallas Cowboy uniform back then?
Well, yeah, they wore those we've seen them wear those uniforms on their throwback days. They usually wear them on Thanksgiving.
Yes.
They had the white jersey. The dominant color was like white. They sort of looked like college all-star jerseys because of the star and everything else. But yeah, those were the early years of the Cowboys when they were really struggling to they weren't even half. The popularity that they have now, it wasn't even close. They were, and to a lesser extent, they weren't really even popular in their own state, because the AFL team, the Dallas Texans, was really the first professional football team there. Of course, they went on to, they left a few years later, became the Kansas City Chiefs. But, the Cowboys struggled. They struggled on and off the field those early years because they were not, they weren't the juggernaut that they would become later on in the 70s.
The Texans and the Cowboys had the identical uniform. Oh, yeah, opposite covers. They had the identical uniform.
Well, what they did was they had now. Now Dallas was like a blue and white. The Texans were red and white. What they, you know, like you said, like, you know, with the Cowboys, they had the star that everybody, you know, equates them with. They had the star on the helmet with the white helmet with the dark blue star. The Texans, they had the Kansas City Texans. They had the Kansas City colors, but they had the state of Texas on their helmet.
Now,
if I remember correctly.
Yes, that's right. You're right. That's right.
And by the way, Gar, you were talking about the Winston game before. Winston did pull it out. They won 27-20, so they move on to the second round of the playoffs next week.
I was trying to get score like my computer when cooperating.
I was listening to the game online, and they won 27-20. It was so somewhat of a sloppy game. I know Rudy Johnson, the Rams, Winston's quarterback, threw three picks, but they were still able to pull out the win. And now they will go up against Shepherd next week down in West Virginia.
Well, they had two minutes in the first half.
He threw another one in the second half. Almost threw two in the second half. They were, I think it's safe to say that, you know, he was probably still feeling somewhat of the effects of the fight, and also I think just rustiness as well.
I'm glad I got you here. I was about the CIAA and the candidates of the Pioneer Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
What's going to happen with the NIAZ and CIAA compared to the Pioneer Bowl, and what the NCAA is going to do about these two conferences?
I truly hope that they get this right at some point. To be honest with you, I'm a little disappointed that they've canceled the Pioneer Bowl because, you know, the SIAC really had nothing to do with this.
Right.
And I think the CIAA could have taken like a Fayetteville State or a Shaw. You know, we all know that. That Winston and Virginia State had the two, you know, one of the two divisions.
Right.
You know, I think if they truly didn't want to have Virginia State, I think they could have had a representative there, because the thing is, you had the two teams, you know, the SIAC, you had the two teams that played in the SIAC championship game, either Miles College or Albany, that could have played in that game representing the SIAC. And Fayetteville State could have very easily represented the CIAA, and I think it would have been a very competitive game. But sadly, this game, and we had former CIAA Commissioner Leon Carey on our show this past week,
mm-hmm.
and he said that this is, you know, unfortunately, unlike some of these other bowls, there isn't anyone. They don't basically take the whole year to get this done. And the sad thing is, it may have had to do more with financial reasons than it was the actual incident. And to me, that's even worse, because this is, you know, this is the only NCAA sanctioned HBCU bowl game in the country. And if they sort of treat it like it's not important, you know, you lose your sanctioning, and it's another black eye to black colleges.
Next week is the Bayou Classic with Southern against Grambling.
Grambling.
I think gotta reconsider that because Grambling is so bad this year.
They'll play it. I mean, you know, this is, you know, the thing that's happening with Grambling in many ways it's never happened. I mean, this is going to wind up being one of the worst, if not the worst, season in the history for Grambling. So they'll play it out. I mean, I'm sure, sadly, because of what's going on this year, a lot of the players and a lot of the coaches want to sort of get this year over with, because for Gremlin fans, this year has just been such a nightmare, and it's a shame, knowing the tradition and everything else.
I go back to what I said earlier in the year about the NIAC, the NAA, the MEAC, and the SWANC. All join forces and make two conferences, one East, West, North, South, however you want to do it. And you have the team there. You make two divisions each side. Fool around and get this done.
Yeah, you're not the first person that's ever wanted to see this happen. I know, I was lucky. I worked at Winston-Salem State years ago, and there was always talk of the four HBCU conferences just saying the heck with the NCAA, and they just basically play for a national black championship. Now, the SWAC has basically done that to a lesser extent. Their teams they play the SWAC championship game. It's 2 weeks from today.
Yes.
And that's usually the first weekend of the 1AA, I guess it's the FBS, I guess is what they're calling it now, formerly the 1AA playoffs. When they started seeing teams that they thought were worthy that were basically not getting in, Rudy Washington, who I guess it was back in the, either late 90s or early 2000s, where he just said, okay, that's it. Our teams are going to play for the SWAC championship instead of trying to play for the NCAA. It's a gamble because, unfortunately, with a lot of these schools, getting an NCAA bid or an NCAA berth means some extra dollars, and unfortunately, that's what these schools, especially the HBCU schools, that can be the lifeblood, because not only does that school get that money, the conference gets that money, and it's very, very important. It's very, very important, and if they are ever going to break free from that, to me, they have to do the total break. They have to, if they're going to do it, they're going to basically just going to have to sort of be like a new entity. They're going to have to go to a network and say, look, do all our games, or either have all the games done online. We see where the SWAC does that and selected schools. Put it this way. I would love to see it happen because I'm like you. I don't think they'll ever get that same equity with the white schools, unfortunately. But I think the sad thing is there's so much infighting between the HBCUs. We saw that in regards to this Virginia State and Winston-Salem State incident, because it basically affected two conferences.
Yes. And my thing is, look. When a negative thing happens, all over the network. Every network broadcast that they do it 2 weeks ago.
Yeah,
meanwhile, two HBCU schools won this weekend, beating a Division One school, and not one word.
Sure. I watched that game where Central beating North Carolina State, and it was a great win for them to go into Raleigh and win like that. And the sad thing is that win didn't get half the press as the fight last weekend. And again, it just shows you the double standard in which they look at these HBCUs.
I don't think it is done because if 2 weeks ago didn't wake these guys up, well, nothing will. What happened 2 weeks ago, I knew when this went down, I knew ESPN was going to ride this horse all the way to the end.
Sure.
Well,
You know, it's, you know, I have more disrespect for the national media because, you know, as one of our colleagues have always said, when it's good news in the black community, it's bad news for somebody else. And there, you know, for all the negative that did come out of the incident in the CIAA, there's a hell of a lot of positive news that has gone on and still goes on. You know, even with the Grammy thing, I don't think, you know, I still applaud the players for what they did. They stood up, and to me, I think the Grambling players standing up was a good thing. I think them exposing Grambling and some of these and some of in the state of Louisiana, that was the bad part. But I applaud those kids. We need to see. You know, I think the fact that they took a stand, they should be commended for that. But unfortunately, because of the way white mainstream media works, they're going to ridicule those kids.
Because they don't want African American men standing up for themselves. That's exactly what they did.
Exactly. If that had been, for lack of a better word, a white school, They would have commended them. They would have, you know,
football players, Penn State got better back and they're way to go, kids.
Sure.
Everybody
join
the band. Stop it.
Yeah. As this was playing out, you knew that once it became a thing on the field that they were going to make them a sympathetic figure. They were going to make them sympathetic figures. My thing has always been, don't forget about the victims. Now, yes, I know that these players, like the players on the team last year and the players this year, had nothing to do with the bad prior acts of Sandusky, Paterno, and the whole gang down there. But punishment had to be meted out. And to me, at the end of the day, you know, how much did they really lose? You know, the majority of their games were on either national or regional television last year. Same thing this year. Yeah, they lost some scholarships. But no less than a year after they got it, they were trying to appeal, and they basically gave them back what they took away. So at the end of the day, what really happened?
I want to move on to the USC Trojans, who were left for dead about 6 weeks ago, fired Lane Kiffin. They finally give it. They got a no-name coach, won 5 games in a row, and they this week if they win again, they could be in the race for the Southern Division of the Pac-12. I cannot believe this.
Well, I think it speaks more of Lane Kiffin more than anything else. This is, you know, I always call him the Eddie Haskell of coaching. It's, you know, this is a guy who has been living off of a reputation for quite a while, but he has not been a good coach. He has not been a good head coach at all. He was lousy with the Raiders. He did 1 year at Tennessee and was mediocre, and now he inherited the back end of Pete Carroll's great recruiting classes and still couldn't win.
No. And it's the same thing with John Gruden. John Gruden is not a good coach, and people. Raise John Gruden, and Lane Kiffin is naming.
Well, you know, again, this is one of those, you know, he was one of those hot young assistants that everybody thought was going to just be able to, you know, he was part of those USC teams that were part of those, you know, national championships. Now, you know, just because you're an assistant on one of the best teams in the country doesn't guarantee you success as a head coach. I mean, we're both old enough to remember when Bill Arnsparger left the Miami Dolphins, those Dolphin teams of the 70s. He was a horrible NFL coach. Now, he wound up being a very good college coach and a very good college assistant coach, you know, for LSU. But, you know, success in one area doesn't necessarily translate to, you know, being a successful assistant doesn't necessarily translate over into being a successful head coach, especially when you're one-dimensional. I mean, he was an offensive coordinator. And to me, but see, again, I think it just speaks to how offense just, you know, dominates in everything in sports. If you have a good offense, you just automatically think that the offensive coordinator is going to be a great head coach. And it doesn't necessarily translate. And it didn't translate in the pros, and it darn sure didn't translate in the colleges. But the sad thing is, he'll get another head coaching job down the road. You watch.
My fear now is the guy in Minnesota's gonna lose his job. The Minnesota Vikings are one of the most worst defensive teams I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
I don't know who the defensive coordinator is, but they need to fire him. They need to fire him first.
I'm not sure who their defensive coordinator is either. I know Frazier does, you know, because he's a former defensive player, he does a lot on the defense. So it may be one of those situations where he doesn't really have a defensive coordinator and he sort of acts as the pseudo coordinator. But they've got problems on both sides of the line. They don't have a quarterback. Now, they have arguably the best running back in the league with Peterson, and they do have a good group of receivers. But, again, I think if you put a decent quarterback there, it would cover the problems on offense. But yeah, like you said, they've got to do something. They definitely got to do something with that defense. It's bad. Yeah, it's bad, especially, and it looks even worse when you have a defensive-minded coach. If you had an offensive coach, you would almost have some leeway, not a whole lot, but it would be some leeway because back in the day, of course, as we did ourselves, that's the old black and blue division, and
right.
you had to have a good defense back in the day there because teams just beat up on each other. Now, because the NFL is so offensive, there's more of a priority put on offense than there is in defense.
Do you think Brady's gonna lose his job?
I hate to say, I think so. I think because it's become so cutthroat in the NFL now. It's even more. I mean, it's always been cutthroat, but even more so now. I think unless there's like extenuating circumstances where you got the Bengals, you know, with Marvin Lewis, or you got Jerry Jones. Down in Dallas where he just wants a puppet, you know, most of the time, you know, these guys go through coaches like underwear, unfortunately.
They were RG3 and said, Tony, I'm really tired of this. Then the same thing in Oakland, in do the same thing at Denver 8, repeating the same stuff. It wasn't, it wasn't to not be coaching anywhere because he's an arrogant man. He doesn't listen to anybody but himself. And he has his son as a quarterback coordinator who, sorry, he doesn't want to be there.
No, he doesn't, you know. And see, with them also, their defense is off, when they won the division last year, again, it masked the fact that they had one of the worst defenses in the league now, and it was exposed in that playoff game when Seattle, took them out. But Shanahan's got the two rings, and people, the two rings unfortunately speak louder than anything else. But I feel like he's been a horrible coach. Ever since John Elway retired, yep, this guy has been living off of those two Super Bowls, plain and simple.
And Elway, if it wasn't for a running back, what was the running back's name? If it wasn't for running back.
Terrell Davis.
I mean, they wouldn't have won those two Super Bowls if it was a running back.
Exactly. All right, and congratulations to him. He's one of the 25 nominees this week, for 25 finalists for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I'd like to see him get in, but that's a whole, that's another whole political thing as well. Although there seems to be the groundswell for him seems to be a little bit louder this year than it has been in other years.
I'm gonna go through three big games this weekend.
Okay.
Number one, the Dallas Cowboys against the New York Football Giants. It's Eli against Romo. It's two inept offenses. The Giant defense is finally come back as Pierre Paul and somebody showed up.
Mm-hmm.
That was defense and injury rhythm, so it'll be an interesting game.
Yeah, this one is a tough one to figure out because, both, as we've seen this year with that division, it's almost like, first team that finishes 500 will win the division more than anything else. I kind of want to go with the Giants only because they've played well over the years in Dallas, and they always seem to have Dallas's number, especially in Dallas. Now, the thing with Dallas is, and what hurts them to me is that Jason Garrett gets a little too cute sometimes. When Dallas is dangerous when they have the lead, not so much when they're playing. They're almost better. They're almost more dangerous when they're behind than when they are when they have the lead because.
Yeah.
Garrett to me gets a little too cute. I'm gonna go with the Giants slightly, only because I think because their defense is a little bit more on par right now than the Cowboys.
I'm going with the Giants because one, they're playing in New Jersey
I'm sorry, I thought it was in Dallas.
In New Jersey,
they
played Dallas, and Dallas the first game of the year.
Okay, that's right. You're right. My bad.
All right. The second game is the Denver Broncos. They're going to win the Patriots. In Boston, Massachusetts, is Brady against Manning. What can you say about this game?
Yeah, I'm not crazy about either team. Even when Denver, knocked Kansas City off the undefeated thing,
won.
But I wasn't like overly impressed with the win. You know how I feel about Team Tebow.
Yeah.
With the way they do.
Both of these are Devo.
Yeah. It's, you know, now this one's at Denver, or is it at New England?
Something
New England. I'll go with the Patriots only because they're at home. I mean, I'm not, you know, I can't stand the Patriots. I mean, I was more than happy to see them get beat this past Monday night. Only thing is, again, you know, we talk about defenses, and Denver's defense still leaves a lot to be desired to me. It's funny, Peyton had all those years in Indy, and the defense almost never really caught up to the offense except for that one season, and that's when they won the Super Bowl. And even with Von Miller, this is still an underachieving defense to me. So I'll begrudgingly go with the Patriots, but I'd love to see Denver come in there, go in there and win.
I'm going with Denver. The reason why I'm going with Denver is because doing that short weekend, fuming over last week, the Cam Newton game, and they're still fuming over that.
Plus, the league doesn't want them to whine for more than 2 weeks, so that's probably one reason why I think they probably want to let them have this game in a sense. But I'm not really enamored with either team, but I guess since the Patriots are home, I'll lean toward them.
Last game is the battle of the young black quarterbacks. The San Francisco 49ers against the Washington Football Club, Kaepernick against Griffin, and I cannot figure out either one of these teams.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say Washington Football Club is going backwards, and the Niners are not producing numbers they did last year, which surprises me.
Yeah. By all rights, this is probably an elimination game in many ways.
Yeah.
I think the loser of this game is probably, you know, is probably going to be out for the playoffs. It seems as though ever since the Super Bowl, even with that first game of the season where he played so well, it just seems as though that Harbaugh has put the clamps on Kaepernick.
Yeah.
He doesn't know whether to – he hasn't really cut him loose to an extent. You know, one of the reasons why he took him over Alex Smith was his versatility, being able to run, being able to throw on the run. Now, yes, I give defenses credit for studying him, but I think the thing is Harbaugh hasn't adjusted.
No.
They don't really have an identity on offense. Are they a running team? Are they a passing team? I mean, I know they don't have their main receivers, but they still, you know, you still have a guy like an Antoine Bolden, and you still have other, you know, decent receivers. I guess I think Crabtree will be back in this game. I'm not sure. Okay, so that's
gonna
be. Well, I mean, to me, let's put it this way. If they open up the offense, I think the 49ers win easily because that Washington defense is awful.
I never seen a defense like that. It's almost on par with the Minnesota Vikings.
I think it's worse. I think it's worse. Teams have been able to just run them, and, you know, even, you know, everybody still loves to throw in this league, of course. But the thing with me is teams have been able to just run literally down the Redskins' throat. And when you got a guy back there like a Frank Gore, I mean, you almost want to just bludgeon them. I mean, you got to throw the ball too, of course, but I would almost just bludgeon them with the run.
What is it good about Michael Vick in Philadelphia? It's been very quiet over here. I'm actually getting annoyed with the Philadelphia Eagles. I'm annoyed with the Eagles because the reason why I'm annoyed with them is because I've watched a couple of their games, and they do not block for Michael Vick.
I'd be shocked if he's in an Eagle uniform next year. I think once Foles had the 7 TD pass game, I think in their mind they just said that's it. You know, I think Michael's played his last game for the Eagles. I don't see him playing another game with the Eagles, and it's too bad too because, you know, like you said, they never blocked for him the way that they have done for Foles.
They need to have the guy here, Oakland. They would not block for Aaron Rodgers. They almost laid down.
And what kills me is that they always try to use the excuse, well, you know, he's tough to block for because you have to hold your block longer or what have you. I mean, no disrespect, but you know, I'm no offensive lineman or anything like that or play one on TV, but when you've got a guy with a unique talent like he has, we talk about this so many times. You play to a guy's strength, not play to his weaknesses. And you know this the Kelly offense to me, and I'm still willing to give him another a year. I'm not going to say it's a bust. As of yet, I think you have to have a full season before you could say yay or nay. I'm still up in the air as to whether this offense is something that can be successful in the NFL. They've had their days. You know, we saw it on opening night. What it can do. We also saw what it can do against the Raiders when Foles had his breakout game. But the jury is still out on whether it can be done on a long-term, on a full-term basis. But I think you have to give him the rest of the year and even some part of next year before you can say it's whether he's a bust or not. It would be really tough, as much of a skeptic as I would be, it would be really unfair to him to not let this year finish out.
Well, it's very interesting that the NFL sent officials up to the Canadian Football League to watch and see how they play. Because the CFL, you have a limited amount of time to get the ball and play. They said officials of the Canada to watch them play in Canada. Very interesting. And because of Kelly's Oregon system.
Well, to me, that's sort of silly. I mean, I understand why they would do that, but no disrespect. All you got to do is scout these college teams. I mean, how many teams are playing the spread? Look how many colleges are playing the spread offense. You know, I mean, you don't have to go to. I mean, put this way, I understand why they would sort of use that because of the tempo and everything else. But no, Oregon is running that same offense right now. Basically Texas A&M runs that same sort of offense. Hell, the Niners, when they do that, Kaepernick going to the pistol is just another offshoot. I mean. It, it again, I understand the intention, but they don't have to go all the way to Canada. All they got to do is stay right here in the States and you know, watch Pac-12 football, watch SEC football, watch watch American Athletic Conference football. I mean, this this system is being played all over the country. They need to, you know, there's no need to have to go to Canada just to see about it.
Yeah, I'm glad you came on the other day. My guests, my other guest didn't show up, so I'm glad you came on. What happened to him? But tell people what you're doing. I know you're on the air every day, Monday to Thursday.
Yeah, well, we're on Blog Talk Radio as well, like Gary, with our show, The Bachelor Pad. Myself and L.A. Baxter, we're on Mondays through Thursdays on Blog. We're on Blog Talk Radio. We're on our website as well, thebachelorpad.biz. We're also on the Black Talk Radio Network, and we just got a sponsorship now with gospelisgolden.com. And we may be adding a few more affiliates within the next few months or so. So stay tuned.
Good to hear that. Good to hear that. LA is working hard.
We all are, Gary. It's that, this time of the year, I think everybody's working hard because of with the holidays right around the corner and everything like that. But it's fun. It's still a lot of fun to be able to do the show during the week. And, you know, I had some free time this weekend. So I, you know, when you asked me to come on, I figured I would come on, hang out for a few minutes.
You guys over the bed. 3 or 4 years, it taught me so much about the HBCUs. I knew about the MEAC, but that was it. I had no idea about the SIAC. I didn't know who they were until your show.
And like I said, as I've mentioned a bunch of times, I used to, I lived in Carolina for a few years, and I actually worked at Winston-Salem State, so I got a chance to really experience HBCU sports, and it's still fun. It is still enjoyable. I would recommend, the football season is winding down. I meant to see what Tuskegee did. I haven't seen the score yet, but basketball's not right around the corner. It's here, and you saw this week with Central going up. And there have been some, on both the men's and women's side this year. We've seen some HBCUs play well and pull off some wins. I know, what was it? The Texas Southern women had a big non-conference win. But this is where you want to see them do well and see. Not only is that a big win for Central, but that's a big win for the MEAC as a conference now.
Yes. Well, I'm gonna get some scores here, and I'm gonna take a break. You can go back on the other side of the break, or you gotta go.
I can hang out for a few more minutes. Sure.
Let me get these scores in, and then
go right ahead.
Take a break and then come back, all right?
Okay.
All right. At halftime, Ohio State is beating Indiana 28-0. 19th ranked Wisconsin at Minnesota 13-7. Woo, upset city here. Arizona Wildcats, the Oregon Ducks, number 5 Oregon Ducks, 28-9. Oh, trouble with Oregon. LSU 21, then A&M 3, and I think the Aggies might be in trouble as the Tigers. LSU 21, Aggies 3. Florida State, once again, Florida State is running people over 35-7 over Iowa. And the big game in California, Big Game, as they call it. Number 9, Stanford, 28, California, 10. And the Big West Conference, Fresno State, 35, New Mexico, 0.
Oh.
And we got finals, K-State, 31, Oklahoma, 41, Michigan State, 30, Northwestern, 6, Louisville beat Memphis, 24-17, Clemson beat Citadel, what are they doing playing Citadel, 52-6, the Gamecocks, 70, Coastal Carolina, 10, Alabama, 49, Chattanooga, 0. So, this game at SIU is playing Indiana State, and that's a sister-brother thing. My sister plays with Indiana State, I with SIU, so it's a great day today. SIU against Indiana State later on today. Alright, I'm going to go to the promos. I'm right back. Promos.
Tune into One Love Radio on Wednesdays at 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time with your hosts Rhonda Harper and Imani Wilmot on blogtalkradio.com.
If you're looking for real talk on sports, politics, and other important issues, tune in to The Bachelor Pad every Monday through Friday beginning at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. L.A. Bachelor and Tony McClain look to enlighten, empower, and educate people on the topics that people are talking about, but discuss them from a social, economical, and racial standpoint. It's sports, breaking news, updates, politics, great guests, and music in between. It's The Bachelor Pad every Monday through Friday beginning at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Listen at www.thebachelorpad.biz. That's www.thebachelorpad.biz. Follow us at facebook.com/padnation and at Pad for Truth on Twitter. That's at Pad number 4 Truth.
Check out In Our Opinion with Southern Eagle and Steel City Storm each Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah, dude, stop with the lectures, stop with the threats. Be a human being, let the guy go up there and say goodbye, for God's sake.
Rick Pocket is another one. He pounded me probably about 4 or 5 times in my career. I never want to fight Cam Neely, never want to fight.
And I knew with the power that I possessed, well, I could tear a man's ear off. Again, only in theory because never done it yet.
How do you punish an Amish kid? Make him watch TV for 2 hours?
Sports talk. The way it was meant to be.
Youngstown Penguins 42-13, failed to go number one in its mall school ratings. North Dakota State pounding South Dakota State 35-0. And later on today, Northern Iowa will play Western Illinois, the Bulldogs, later on today at the Missouri Valley. The Gladiators, the Lukies, ending the season with a two-game streak. Right, there you go. The NCAA scores. We come back to Mike Gilchrist tomorrow. In Canada is the Grey Cup, and the Grey Cup festival is right now, the third Friday night. In the Saskatchewan Rough Riders will play the Hamilton Bearcats for the Grey Cup championship tomorrow. And it should be on ESPN2, if people have it, the Grey Cup tomorrow at noon, but three times, so it should be about three, your guys, in the East. There you go. Okay. I want to move on to, I have what I call the Teddy Bridgewater, Jameson Wilson race. I have the NFL power rating. This is my power ratings. In the NFL, Teddy Bridgewater, Jameson Wilson race, number one, I have Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Number two, Jacksonville Jaguars. Number three, the Atlanta Falcons. Number four, the Houston Texans. And number five, the Minnesota Vikings. Is that right?
Well, it's just put it this way. Bridgewater could probably start for half of those teams, if not all of them, right about now. I think the best two prospects coming out this year are going to be Bridgewater and Taj Boyd out of Clemson.
What about David Wilson from Florida State?
I think he should do another year. I think with a quarterback to come out as a freshman, it would almost be too much. I mean, the scrutiny is going to be high anyway, but even more so. I think you almost have to, for that position, you've got to do at least a couple of years. Barring what this off-the-field stuff may do, they've got a chance to win a national championship this year and possibly next year. And I think if he comes in, I think, he's going to go through scrutiny. He's going to go through scrutiny because he's a black quarterback, unfortunately. But I think if he at least comes in with a champion, with a national championship or two under his belt, I think the scrutiny may not quite be as much. I mean, you're always going to have the haters out there. But I just think right now, because they've been playing, two, 3 years, I think those two would be the best two prospects. Now, could he play? Sure. The only thing is, I think they would probably, depending on where he went, let's just say for sake, Winston comes out, they would, I think they would give him all sorts of, I think they'd give him all sorts of hell, and I think this alleged rape case would also be something that they would almost like force him to not be a first round pick.
Well, it's very interesting. My thing is, when this occurred, Jameson was not a Florida State student.
No, exactly.
People forget that. When this occurred, he was not enrolled in Florida State. But again, they're playing mind games with this guy. And they waited until the end of the season, end of the year to do this.
Well, it's interesting, and you you know, LA brought this out this week. Manziel had off the field issues last year, but they were overlooked. This year, you know, Winston's got issues, and they're front page news. And Manziel, to me, is much more immature than Winston is.
Well, I hope that Winston overcomes it. I feel bad for the young woman because they had to move out of Florida State and go to another school, which I think is wrong. Why did he leave the school when she tried to get educated to the this whole thing.
Yeah, well, I mean, let's put it this way. I think it's safe to say, you know, they had sex. I think it's safe to say that they had sex.
Yeah.
It's just a matter, at the end of the day now, it's just a matter of whether it was consensual or not. And that's going to be the hard thing to try to prove or disprove here. And sadly, you've already got a police force that sort of forced the victim to recant, and she's not going to recant, and rightfully so if rape did happen, but to try and put this on her is like she's being raped again by the system.
Yes. It's a very, very bad, very bad. And the college is almost condone this kind of action because of the way they recruit people. The NCAA needs to put the book down and say, okay, enough of this. You cannot do this anymore. And they won't do that.
Well, you know, sadly, the NCAA is more worried about getting their cut more than anything else. They have already gone past their usefulness. Well, you know, the NCAA... They're not going to step in. I think we've seen over the years where the NCAA has almost become obsolete now. You know, they've almost come obsolete. Just something just passed over the thing. Derek Rose, surgery for a torn meniscus in his right knee, out indefinitely.
That's the end of the Chicago Bulls season.
Well, you know, hey, they got to the semis last year without him.
Yeah,
so,
but they
will.
It's
going to be tougher this year because Indiana. Indiana has taken it to another level, and you know, Miami is still there, and you know, at least early on. A lot of the teams that have been touted to be decent teams are struggling. You know, you see the Nets got whooped by the Timberwolves the other night. You know, the Knicks are still struggling. The East is a mess right now. It really is.
The New York Knicks, you know, you and I are both New York Knicks, man.
We're the last two ones left.
I am disgusted with the way this team. This is pitiful. And now the blame come out. Andy, wait a minute. Who else is gonna score that team?
Yeah, right. It's you know, I'm trying to to be somewhat patient and say, okay, let me see them mix and everything like that. And, when going into the season, I was very leery about this roster because I was, you know, I didn't see where the other points was coming from. And plus, my biggest complaint is the lack of effort on defense. That's my biggest problem with them because, and see, that, you know, in many ways, that was, to me, that was always the biggest key for them because they play defense. And now on certain nights, they just don't play defense. You know, and then they go and get a guy like a Bargnani who is one-dimensional. I mean, I guess he's had a few double-digit rebound games this year, but for the most part, he's a poor man's Dirk Nowitzki.
If you want to go out and be the leader, if he is the leader, he has that responsibility. I look at him, and look, okay, he's a great player. He's a wonderful guy. But if you're going to be a leader, you have to lead that team. And I don't see that in this young man. I don't see that quality in a young man. And really,
I'll say this: you can only lead if people want to be led, people keep comparing this team to last year's team, and you have to remember the roster makeup of last year's team. This was a veteran team last year. You know, Rasheed Wallace and Jason Kidd. But see, it also speaks to just how valuable Chandler was. And see, it goes back to something that I've always tried to harp on with people who only casually watch the NBA, and that these guys don't play defense. Right now, the Knicks are playing without their best defensive player, and that's Tyson Chandler. And they're just a shell of a team now without Tyson Chandler, because Tyson Chandler does all the dirty work. He does the rebounding. He'll guard the big man. And it's the sort of thing where you look at a game and he may only have like 6 points and maybe you'll say, what are you doing? But see, you don't appreciate a Tyson Chandler until he's gone. And his loss is such a huge, huge, huge loss right now because, they're asking, put it this way, much like how the Lakers are asking Gasol to rebound, that's what the Knicks are asking Bargnani to do, and he's never done it in this league.
No.
You've got some young players that, while they have some talent, they're still somewhat one-dimensional. I like guys like Shumpert and Tim Hardaway Jr., but Tim Hardaway Jr. is a rookie. You can't ask him to do but so much. And Ian Shumpert, as good a player as he is, he still seems to be, I don't know if he's still favoring the knee or what have you, but there's something, L.A. early in the year talked about how Robert Griffin was sort of playing tentatively. I get that same feeling with Shumpert.
I need to say a couple of weeks ago with Derrick Rose, I saw him on TV, and he wasn't playing with a full deck either.
I think this injury attests to it. And see, for all the people that that poo-pooed him sitting out the whole year, I think this just shows you that he knew his body better than all of us did.
Yeah, very, very, very surprising. I mean,
I was
amazed that he returned.
Yeah, it's disappointing because he's such a young man, and we saw who's the kid for Portland a couple of years ago that had to retire because of, I think it was like a bad knee or a bad back or whatever. You would hate to see Rose's career end, but when you have problems with your knees, man, you can't have bad knees trying to play in the NBA. Especially his position. And when you realize just how explosive he's been over the years, it's a shame. It's a shame because he's a young man. He's one of the faces of the NBA on and off the field. It's a shame. It would be a shame that to find out that this could be a career-ending thing.
I want to move on to the NHL. And look, the NHL, like the NFL, they got to deal with the concussions. Too many players this year are getting concussions. And the league has to make rules that you cannot take a guy out of my mind, period. Here's my advice to the NHL. If you cross-check somebody from the back, you should be given a 3-game suspension immediately. Immediately.
Mm-hmm.
This would end the nonsense of cross-checking people into the board.
You know, it's funny because, you know, what was it, when Lindros was still playing and when he got cold cocked by Scott Stevens a few years back, I thought the NHL was trying to make strides, and you would have thought that after the whole thing with Sidney Crosby sitting out for almost a full season and a half,
yeah,
as well. I mean, you know, let's be honest. The league, if there's one league that needs to take care of their superstars, it's the NHL. I'm not saying nobody should hit them, but you've got to, you know, like you said, you've got to do something in regards to the collisions, because this is, I mean, like football, it's a collision sport, and in many ways, it's a worse collision sport than baseball, because your body, even though they wear the pads, you're more exposed out there. And God forbid you hit your head against the boards or hit your head against the ice. I mean, it's funny, but when you think of all the years that the NHL has been around or whatever, there's only been sort of like a handful of players who died on the ice. I remember, the old Minnesota North Stars had a guy, Bill Masterson, who the Masterson Award is named after. He was, if I remember, he was the last guy that basically died on the ice because of a severe concussion. And that was, I want to say, around 1966, 67, when they had that first expansion. Now you've had some serious injuries. I remember Clint Malarchuk almost dying on the ice. You know, when he caught a blade in his throat.
Yeah.
I remember the ex-Islander Brian Berard basically losing an eye early in his career with a puck. But and the funny thing is, I think the NHL, unlike the NFL, has over the years has tried to address the issue, but
yeah,
the guys are still getting hurt.
Well, I think the Sid Crosby thing 2 years ago was a wake up call, because you cannot lose a Sid Crosby for half a year. I think people are paying prices to see the stars of the league, and you just can't have that.
Yeah, and especially when you're coming off, when you've lost a huge portion of your audience. You know,
yeah.
I mean, you know, right now, even, you know, right now, you know, hockey is somewhat of an afterthought in a lot of places, and even in cities where the NHL is big. I mean, you know, the Islanders got off to a relatively decent start, and they've cooled down a little bit.
Okay,
I mean, them and the Rangers are an afterthought in regards to the New York sports. I only use them as an example because, you know, even the mediocre Jets and the Giants, hell, even the Hot Stove League is probably getting more publicity than the Rangers and the Islanders right now.
Yeah, and And now with the New Jersey Devils winning five in a row, look out, because if they get Islanders can forget it, because everybody's going to look at the Devils.
Well, I think now the Islanders made the trade. They got the kid from Buffalo. But, see, it fed the offense. Now, you know, they've got, I mean, between Tavares and all those other guys, scoring's not the problem. If they're going to make a serious run, they've got to shore up the defense. They've got to get as I was afraid, Nabokov has come back down to earth, and the backup, he's a backup. I mean, he's a decent goalie, but he's a backup. They've got to, personally. They got the wrong guy from Buffalo. I'd have said, what do you want for Ryan Miller?
Mm-hmm.
I'd have personally tried to give him a little try. I would have loved to see, because Miller's going to wind up walking anyway. I would have thought that they would have tried to work out, because when I heard that they were in talks with Buffalo, first thing that came to my mind was, oh, let it be Ryan Miller. Please, God, let it be Ryan Miller.
Yeah.
But it wind up being, another goal scorer. And I was like, to me, and maybe I'm crazy, I don't think they needed another scorer. I would have said, look, what do you want from Miller?
Benjamin, I need the power range going from east to west. All the good teams are in the west, and surprising to see Detroit move to the east as it totally collapsed.
I'll say this. As much as I enjoy the NHL, the NHL regular season leaves a lot to be desired sometimes, because, just like every year, and with the exception of last year, because you basically had a sprint from day one.
Yeah.
Let's face it. We're going to have, we know come like March and April, there's going to be 89 teams trying to get the last two playoff spots in the East.
Who knows?
And another 89 teams trying to get the last two playoff spots in the West.
This year is going to be different, though. This year is going to be different because the rules are different.
Yeah.
What happened this year is they have a 16 teams division, right?
There's a caveat that
the first four teams in each division get in. So it's a very different way of doing it this year.
Well, it's put a little more emphasis on the regular season, but but still, I still think the Red Wings are somebody you got to deal with. I think they may be just trying to get used to not having to deal with Colorado and Anaheim all the time, and but again, I think it speaks to the Islanders from the East too, because you got your Bostons, you got your Tampas, the Rangers, of course, begrudgingly I have to say that they are a top team, Pittsburgh as well. It speaks to just how strong the East is. When you look at the last three teams that have come out of the East, when you look at the last three teams that have come out of the East in the Stanley Cup Finals, now Boston won theirs. They got skunked last year, and the Devils took LA to six games. So I agree with you where the power is definitely in the West, but I think the margin between good and bad in the East and the West, it's not as, that margin isn't as big as it was, say, 4 or 5 years ago, would you say?
Yeah, I like the way the NHL did it this year, because years ago, with a team at one division would get like eight different teams, and they deserve it. Let me give you an example. St. Louis. One year, St. Louis was right on a bubble, right? Mm-hmm. But because of the way that they were slanted, they didn't get in. I thought it was a disservice because St. Louis was a good team back then. Now, I think with a 2-inch monster in goal, they might do it this year. I think this might be their year.
Well, you know, I almost, and I was even saying, I was almost sort of saying it last year, and while I was glad to see the Islanders make the run, I almost wanted to sort of throw out last year because it was a half season. This year is more of what, you know, is going to be more of a traditional year where we see where, you know, everybody plays everybody. You only play a handful of, West Coast teams. And, you know, the Islanders were able to mask their weaknesses until they went up against Pittsburgh. And, you know, they played Pittsburgh well. They, you know, in many ways they outplayed them in the postseason last year. But, you know, Pittsburgh, the talent just, you know, willed out. But I think now when they have to take it to the next level, I think they're still there, you know. On certain nights, you can see where they're a better team, but then on other nights, like the other night with Pittsburgh, and you know, Pittsburgh still gives them problems. I mean, everybody and their mama, everybody and you know, Sidney Crosby gives everybody and their mama problems. So that you know, excuse me, that's a, but see, they're the standard, you know, they're the standard. They're one of the standards in the East. You know, them, Boston, the Devils, those are teams that you know going into the season that if you want to even be talked about in the Stanley Cup thing, you got to go through Boston. You got to go through Detroit.
And the Pittsburgh Penguins are like the San Antonio Spurs of basketball.
That's a very good analogy. And see the thing with them is they're still the thing with them, unlike the Spurs, they're still relatively young. The core of their team is still relatively young. So they're not going, I mean, barring injuries or whatever, they're not going anywhere anytime soon.
Their weak spot is Marc-Andre Fleury.
They have a, you know, what'll burn a hole in my butt is if Ryan Miller winds up going to, like, say, if the Penguins to get, like, Ryan Miller, game over.
You're right.
You know, that's why I was like, come on, see what you can get for him. I mean, put it this way: it's not like that guy that lied is running the team now. You got some guys that really want to run the team. Go out and get them. Because see, to me, it's going to be very interesting to see when the trade deadline comes up. Because I don't want to make it out like Ryan Miller is their greatest, but if he goes to, let's just say, for example, let's say he goes to, like, say, let's say he goes to, like, a Detroit or a Pittsburgh or like an Anaheim or somebody like that. That's a difference maker. Yeah, he's got some age with him and everything. To me, wherever he goes, it would be similar to when Patrick Roy went to Colorado. They automatically become a contender.
Speaking of Patrick Roy, I think the Avalanche surge is over because one thing about aggressive coaches. Players get tired of the same rhetoric after a while.
Already
ruined, already.
And you know, And you know what's so surprising is that, you know, he's not that far removed from the game. You would think that he would almost realize, wait a minute, I can't be beating up these guys in November and expect them to be still be in it in April. I mean, the NHL is like the NBA. It's a marathon. It's not a sprint. No one's gonna remember who's the number one team in the East in November. No. They're gonna remember who the number one team is in the playoffs. And even then, that's not guaranteed, as we've seen over the years, where you always get that one crazy upset in the postseason. But you would think that a guy who's not that far removed from the NHL would just sit back and say, wait a minute, this is a young team. Let me pull back the strings. As much as it pains me to say this, I think what Vigneault is doing with the Rangers makes sense. You know, don't try to be the number one team now. Glide yourself into it. You want to be playing your best hockey in April and May, not November and December.
Well, most veteran coaches understand that. That's why I was surprised to see Patrick Waugh do what he was doing.
Especially with a young team.
Oh, you want to stay online? We got 2 minutes to go. It'll be offline. Only on the phone if you want to listen to the rest of the show. I'll get ready to close it down. We'll go over a little bit. So it's about 2 minutes to go in the show. If you want to get on, it's 646-727-3649. If you want to listen to the rest of the show after the feed is done. So, okay, I want to, let's see, we got hockey done, we got basketball done, we got football done. Oh, yeah, but Lindsey Vonn, the injury of Lindsey Vonn. See, but I'll be in the Olympics in the winter.
She hurt her knee, right?
Yeah, it's the same knee that it hurt before.
That's that. And see, I guess the big question is, is she going to be ready for the Russian Olympics? It doesn't look good.
Don't need to go back because as an 8 to 10 week, the 8 to 10 week rehab, and Sochi is in February, right?
Yes, February, late February. I think it's like the middle of February, and it's funny. I got a chance to catch Real Sports, and they're having their problems down there as well.
Yeah, it's very, very, very interesting to see this. I think the U.S. might get buried in the Olympics because the Russian Federation is going all out to win gold medals.
You think? It's such a propaganda thing as well. And see, it always seems like with the Winter Olympics, it's like hit or miss with the U.S. I mean, Lindsey Vonn was, they were looking at her to be sort of they were looking for her to at least
Wonder Woman.
Yeah, they were looking for her to medal, and now, unless somebody comes out of nowhere, this is going to be like for the first time in a long time that you're going to have a U.S. not even medal in that event.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah.
Also, Ms., I think her name, Jones, the spinner is going bobsledding now.
Kobe. Oh, jeez. They're falling like flies. They're falling like flies, man. See, what I was going to say before, it seems as though we go through stages, the U.S. team, in regards to the Winter Olympics. We either have a real, real, real strong team or like a real meaty. It's never a time where they, like, at least it seems like to me, where you have a strong team every Olympics. Now, maybe a lot of that has to do with the fact now it's every 2 years instead of every 4 years. Maybe that has a lot to do with it now. But, you know, with the exception of Vaughn and, you know, whoever plays on, I guess, the U.S. Hockey, there hasn't really been a whole lot of buzz in regards to the U.S. going into this Olympic. And the fact that it's in Russia, that just adds even more to it.
Well, I'm glad to see the Olympic team come to their senses, the Olympic Committee come to their senses, and start to include softball again and baseball again. Without even ridiculous, they took out. I'm glad they put it back in the games again.
Yeah, hopefully they do that same thing with wrestling as well.
Right. I don't know what they were thinking about. All right, man. We're getting ready to get out of here because the COVID is getting ready to close up shop. I'm glad you came on.
Oh, no problem, Gary. No problem. No problem at all. Glad to do it.
It was great. You made my show today.
We do. We aim to please. You take care, Gary.
Hello.
All right. I definitely will. I'll catch you during the week.
All right, thank you. That was Clay McLean from the Bachelor Pad. You get the Bachelor Pad every Monday through Thursday on blogradio.com. As for me, I'm Gary Gray. This is Red McGold. We're going to be out of here in about 5 minutes after I give a salute to Mr. Rogers, Roy Rogers, and his great network, and we will see you next week, same bad time, same bad station.
Now we got the spirit that can never give in, with a heart that pumps stronger than 10 average men. It's something within I was born to win. You can't hold me down, I'm a black champion. We had to fight for equal rights, on and off the court, and at the turn of the century, dominated sports. For the love of the game, endured the pain, and forced from segregation, had to make a change. That crowd was the first black man to get a deal in the major league, knocking home runs out of the field. Led the whole league. Running for touchdowns, so if you ever had to stop, I'm gonna be crushing.